Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number three of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockenspeth and Greg Pickle back with you again from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Before we get to Penn State and the national picture, where things go after a 31-26 loss to Minnesota. They're 8-1 now. Got some breaking news for you from our friends at DraftKings. DraftKings has launched an online sportsbook created by sports fans for sports fans. Now available in Pennsylvania. That's right, DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has brought their expertise to legal sports betting and is already America's top-rated sportsbook app. They've got it all: over-unders, player props, in-game betting, which is pretty awesome. That's a new revolution, I think, in wagering. Special odds boost every single day for the biggest games. Really good. You know your funds are secure there. Trustworthy, legitimate sportsbook based in the U.S. And now you can get in the action wherever, whenever in the Keystone State. You can download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code KSN when you sign up. And for a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's code KSN to get a deposit bonus up to $500 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. The deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And we mentioned all this. Yeah, obviously we've got Greg's best bets coming. We've talked about wagering more and more on this show as it becomes a bigger and bigger deal, especially in the state of Pennsylvania. Now, as we expand our scope talking about the national picture, it all makes sense to kind of pay attention to that. You have after Penn State loses 31-26 to Minnesota, a couple big questions to try to get to in this context, Greg. One, where does this put Penn State in the college football playoff rankings, which will be released on Tuesday? And two, do they really belong in that conversation after what you saw this past Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like this. I'll be curious to see where the committee slots Minnesota. You know, it was the lowest rated Power 5 unbeaten team ever in the history of the college football playoff rankings, which I know isn't a huge sample size, but I'll be curious to see where they go. But mostly I'll be interested to see if Penn State stays in the top 10 or not. We're going to learn a lot about what the committee thinks of Penn State, what it thinks of Alabama, what it thinks of LSU, Ohio State, Minnesota, and that's going to give us a better feel for what realistic chance Penn State has to get back into this. I mean, look, obviously the path is simple at this point. You got to beat Ohio State in Columbus, then you have to win the Big Ten title game. Is that going to guarantee you a spot in the college football playoff? You know, Dustin, I don't know. I think maybe, but there's also a chance that it could not. Same thing, you know, with what's going on down in the SEC. So I don't know. I guess there's been a lot of flip-flopping, and no one thought Alabama would have a shot to still be in the conversation if it lost to LSU. Now it loses to LSU, and somehow there's people still making cases for them to maybe make the playoff. I mean,
the ultimate eye test.
It is. It is. And no matter what they do, they gave up 500-plus yards and 40-plus points at home. And, you know, if LSU did that at LSU against Alabama and lost, they'd be gone. They'd be out of the conversation. So I don't know. It's a little frustrating how the narrative sometimes can be spun with regards to Alabama. But I mean, look, Penn State, obviously the easiest way to get there is to be undefeated. The second easiest way to be there is a one-loss conference champ. So their goals are still in front of them. The question is, did what they put on tape Saturday give you less of a reason to think they can compete with, let alone beat Ohio State? I think the answer right now has to be yes.
I think clearly the voters in the AP and the coaches polls have a really high regard for LSU and felt like that was a matchup. And the way that game went too, Greg, where Alabama, you know, really made it a game late and kind of and came back to do that, left them with a little better taste in their mouths as a result. So we'll see. They dropped from 2-4 in the AP poll. They dropped from, I believe, 1-4 in the coaches poll. So we'll see what the committee thinks of them on Tuesday, especially Alabama side by side with Georgia, for example. You know, Minnesota now sitting at 9-0. I figured in the college football playoff rankings, Penn State went into last week number 4. Minnesota was number 17. I thought they'd meet somewhere in the middle where, you know, like kind of what happened in the AP and coaches poll. Minnesota now at number 7, Penn State at 9 and 11. I think it's going to look a little bit like that in the college football playoff rankings pertaining to these two teams. Now, Clemson makes a jump. I suspect we'll see them make a jump in the playoff rankings too. Ohio State maybe could be on a collision course here with Minnesota. But as you mentioned, you know, I think you went from Penn State possibly maybe having some cushion to be able to lose to Ohio State and still be a potential playoff contender. I don't think that that was likely anyway. So what I'm saying, had they beaten Minnesota and lost to Ohio State as most kind of predicted, would they have had a shot as an 11-1 team not winning the Big Ten to get in? I think this year is going to shape up where that probably wasn't going to be good enough.
Right.
You know, when you have Georgia and Alabama, a legitimate Oregon team, a legitimate claim, you know, a legitimate Utah team, whoever wins the Pac-12, a one-loss Pac-12 champ, has a better chance than ever of getting in. I just don't think this was going to be the year to go 11-1, sit out the conference championship game and still get in. So with that in mind, I mean, when it comes to Penn State, on paper, trying to get into this conversation, I don't think much has changed.
No, I don't either. I think, you know, again, it always helps to be unbeaten. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, we always knew that even if Penn State got by Minnesota, it was going to have to beat Ohio State in Columbus to really have its best shot of getting in. And even if you say, okay, well, Penn State beats Minnesota and they're 11-1, is that going to make a difference if they lose Ohio State and don't go to the conference championship? And that's what you have to decide. You know, they're going to have to move Baylor up, I guess. So that's another domino that could fall. We'll see what they do with Oklahoma, which almost lost to Iowa State. It is a messy week, I think, for the committee. And, you know, someone at the airport had said to us in Minnesota that, you know, the media must love the early rankings because it gives us things to talk about and write about and all that. And I would much rather find anything else to talk about but these early November college football playoff selection committee rankings, because I think the logic that it's very frustrating, I think, to try and follow the committee's logic from November. What was the first one released? November 4th, 5th, whatever it was. To follow their logic from November 5th until December 4th, an entire month of changes, with obviously the games on the field being the biggest thing that should change what happens each week. It doesn't feel like it always works out that way. So, you know, we'll get another set of rankings Tuesday. We'll get them every Tuesday until, you know, the final Sunday after the regular season when we'll get the full top 25. But it just... Now, I don't know if it adds a lot of value to the conversation, because it's just, again, it's 6 weeks of muddy data points. And, you know, Rob Owens, the selection committee chair this year, has to go on TV and then he has a conference call and he explains, you know, all the things that made the committee do what it did in that particular instance. And again, more often than not, it just feels very convoluted, the logic that they come to. So I guess that's a very long way of saying, who knows what they'll do with Penn State or any of these teams this year. It feels like, after listening to him last Tuesday, that, you know, this group is different from others and could go any different direction it wanted to. It doesn't seem to either even rely, though, on its own points, because it liked, you know, it didn't like some teams because of strength of schedule. It liked other teams because of strength of schedule. I mean, you got to compare them all the same, I think, and it doesn't appear that they're doing that.
The always present eye test is the quantitative versus qualitative dynamic, and it's a hard job. I am on James Franklin's side, not in the sense of like we got to keep our focus on 1-0 each week, but these things don't mean anything. The most fundamental thing you can take away is that if things play out on a similar course, Team A and Team B, this is how the committee feels about them. If these teams end up in a tiebreaker situation, we can look at this data and how they feel, the sentiment right now, and point to that as maybe being part of the tiebreaker criteria. However, the tiebreaker criteria are going to evolve and change over time. There's going to be margin of victory. There's going to be, you know, teams that maybe you're playing a team in 3 weeks that's not ranked right now that gets hot as ranked later. Like, there's so much stuff to judge these teams off an incomplete schedule is... It really is just a means to keep discussing college football.
Right.
And this element is what they're fighting to hold on to so badly to keep the college football playoff to four teams, that the meaning of every single week, the meaning of every single week. But, you know, the challenge is, you know, good teams over the course of 12 weeks, you are going to lay an egg. And in the NFL, for example, if you lay 3 eggs and you're 13-3, you're the number one seed in the playoffs.
Yep.
If you go 11-1, there's a good chance you're not in the playoffs. And that's just, I don't know. I'm a proponent of expanding this thing. And I think eventually they will. But I think this is just another part of that. Like, we got to make sure we enforce how important college football is every single week.
Right.
And this is just another tool to do that. They do not mean much at all.
No, they don't. And so we'll continue talking about them because
they don't mean anything.
Well, yeah. And I just, you know, I think there is some value in, I think there is some value in assessing, you know, each week of the college football season in that light once we start getting these rankings in November. But yeah, I mean, at some point, when you don't know all of the work that went into how they come to these rankings, and you know, you get very vague and wordy answers at times about how certain teams ended up where they did, it's hard to take it very seriously. But it's a system we got at this point, so we'll see. You know, the biggest shock to me is not going to be where they place Minnesota. It's that Vegas still doesn't buy Minnesota because they're a 3-point underdog at Iowa, which we'll talk about later this week.
Boy, they treat, you know, Kinnick Stadium like this, like they've got a force field around it.
Is a little bit obnoxious. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a very hard place to play, but
it's also Iowa.
Right. And so at some point,
this is not, you're not going into Kinnick Stadium playing Alabama.
Right. Yeah. And that's something that I think sometimes gets lost in the shuffle because, you know, that would tell me that if a neutral site, you know, Kinnick's probably worth 4 or 5 points. So you'd have Minnesota as a short favorite. I mean, I don't know. I certainly think the Hawkeyes are in a prime spot to catch the Golden Gophers sleeping. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it felt like Minnesota.
Does PJ Fleck team sleep?
I don't think PJ Fleck sleeps. His team probably does, but I'm not sure he does. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough spot for Minnesota. It really is. Tough spot for Penn State too, to have to bounce back and play this Indiana team that I think is much better than anyone expected because they finally have figured out a little bit of how to play offense. And even though they still don't have the greatest quarterbacks in the world, they found a way to use their strengths out there, and that's helped.
So Minnesota at Iowa, at Northwestern against Wisconsin. I think the thing that can do them in is their defense. I don't see a lot of special talent on that defensive side of the ball. Antoine Winfield, the cornerbacks are fine. Offensively, they know who they are. They know what they want to do. If they need to beat you with the run, they're capable of doing that. If they need to beat you with the pass, they're capable of doing that. I came away, obviously Penn State made Tanner Morgan look as impressive as he looked all year, but that's a pretty good little quarterback there. And he looks exactly like PJ Fleck. If you're wondering if he's going to be able to channel the head coach and spread his message to the offense, he's a miniature PJ Fleck. So I think he's capable of doing that. Minnesota, a wild card. If they win out, they'll be an interesting team in that Big Ten title game. We're not done here talking Penn State, Minnesota. We're going to hear from James Franklin coming up in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Breaking news. DraftKings has launched America's top-rated sportsbook app in Pennsylvania. Download the top-rated DraftKings sportsbook app and sign up with code KSN. For a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's code KSN. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. See website for details. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.